Good evening.
And how is everyone this evening?
Awake and ready.
Good. Now let us all close our eyes and fix our full attention at the point between the eyebrows. Let us feel the presence of God. Let us feel ourselves filled with His light. See ourselves surrounded by His radiance. Let us feel our oneness with Him. And let us pray to Him. O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles. And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development. Make my mind thy temple. Make my heart thy altar. Make my love thy home. Be thou the only king.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Chapter 1, beginning with verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Years ago, Master used to publish magazine, and at that time it was called Interculture. And each month contained, as it does still today, somewhat different, meditations for each day. And I would like to read you two today. I am thankful for this new day. I am thankful for the fresh opportunities, for the wonder, for the tests and responsibilities, for the dreams, for the miracle of life, and for the evidences of truth and divine order which await my recognition. May I be keenly alive, and may I always be aware of the Father's presence within and around me. This is a day of fulfillment. May God's will be done through me this day. And this is another one. before I can receive the gifts the Father has for me. It is the law that I must give both of service and of things. The channel must be kept open in order that the limitless universal supply may flow freely. Those are two terrific meditations. I chose the subject of my sermon tonight because I have been reading a book entitled What Manner of Man, about Martin Luther King Jr. And it's a terrific book, absolutely terrific. And I think that all of us should read it. We would be able to understand the problems and the terrible torture of one part of the human race, and perhaps to learn from it and to be better people ourselves, to realize the struggle that they have had to make, and to realize how deep has been their despair. But it's a subject for every man, not just one race, one religion, one creed. It's a subject for every man to think about. What manner of man? Now, the term mankind applies to men, women, children, everywhere. It is a story of every man, of every woman, of every child, every single person in this universe. What we make of ourselves, of our lives, of this tremendous opportunity that is given us, will determine what our reward or what our punishment will be. There are many men who think because they are men that they have the prerogative of doing anything they want, that women are their slaves and their chattel. But men, per se, are no greater than women. It is women who bear the child in the womb. And if it were not for woman, man could not be here. So they are at least equal. A man, a true man, has responsibility. He has this responsibility of providing for his family, of teaching his family, of being the example as the minister of his family. But he does not have license. And that is one thing which should be remembered. He does not have license. He has responsibility, but not license. A rather startling thought came to me the other day when I was talking with someone, and that is this: that the soul has no sex. It is ageless. It is colorless. It has no particular religious belief. It is pure spirit, the pure intelligence and light of God. And in the end, all of us must go back to that one light. And then only as we develop ourselves as men and women of God will we realize the success, the wonder, the beauty, and the glory of what we really are in Him. We all start out, and this world is a fascinating place. Today, with all of the advertising going on, with television, with radio, with distances made so short that man is just next door to the farthest corner of the earth, all of his desires are tempted. His appetites are whetted. But his appetite and his desire must be for God alone. Because until he can give of himself completely, without thought of reward, he will never be a success as a man. Not ever. He who sits and who criticizes and who judges is not a man. He is only a reasonable facsimile. And this is the truth. Junior was kind enough to find a poem for me tonight while we were looking for someone else. I think Mary sent this Christmas card a few years ago, and on the back of each one she had this mimeographed, and this little verse was printed. I asked Almighty God for strength that I might achieve, but instead I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked Almighty God for health that I might do greater things, but instead I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked Almighty God for riches that I might be happy, but instead I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked Almighty God for power, that I might have the praise of all men. But instead I was given weakness, that I might feel need of Almighty God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. But instead, I was given life, that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. And almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all men most richly blessed. How tremendous that is, and how true. When you are totally and absolutely surrendered to God, giving to Him everything you have, everything you are, and this means yourself as you have known that self, it must go utterly and completely, in order that you, a man or a woman, may be born a God man, a God woman. Every man has a destiny to fulfill. He has a service to render, not to himself, but to God, and to God in every form that he meets. And he must do this selflessly. The Christ came here to teach us the way. There have been other great ones who have come to teach us. And this man, Martin Luther King, made a mark upon this earth that will not be easily forgotten. He gave his life for God. Could any of us say the same? Would we be willing to do this? Would we be willing really to give our lives as the Christ did for us? Now, this is not required of most of us today, but yet it is required of each and every one of us, because the humanness in us, that human life, must be given totally, completely. It must be destroyed, crucified, transformed, if the divine within us is to be born. This is an absolute necessity. The Christ dwells in the heart of every single one. His infinite intelligence is in each and every one of us. His presence is in each and every one of us. But it will never manifest. We will never find the richness of life which we could find as long as we retain one single little desire for ourselves, one single crumb of possession or attachment for ourselves. It will not come. This is the law. Why? Because this is the false self. I told someone a story the other day about a dream that my son-in-law had one time. And it was a very strange dream, but it was so true. And it made a profound impression on him, and it certainly did on me. And I would like to tell it to you, share it with you. He dreamt that he was getting on a train. And as he stepped on the train, he looked around and he saw Swami Ramdas standing there, whom we call Papa. And then as he looked over here, he saw himself. And he thought, well, I can't leave him there. I must take him with me. He couldn't leave himself there. So he got down off the steps of the train, but as he reached out to take hold of that other form, all of a sudden it disintegrated. And there was nothing left but a pile of manure. And he looked at Papa in startled amazement. And Papa looked at him and he said, are you sure you want to take him with you? Now this is what your human ego consists of. It is a delusion. It is absolutely nothing. It is that which makes you build rotten foundations. And these foundations have to be taken down, totally crumbled and destroyed. And a foundation of truth, of love, of wisdom, of service, has to be built for God. This is the house, the tree, the cross, the temple of the living God. Every single form is that house wherein He dwells, that glorious one, that radiant one of God. All the things in the world are as nothing compared to the bliss of His eternal presence. Some of you have been privileged to see me in this state, and on some of you it is truly rubbed off, and you too have been taken up into the heights of your own being. But don't forget that each one sees in me your guru, that which is within yourself. So take a good look at what you see in me. If you see the glory of God, then you first have to have it within your own consciousness, within your own heart, or you cannot see it. And if any man or any woman or anyone gives forth only hate for the world and expects good, that one is foolish indeed. Because as ye give, so shall ye receive. Whatever you sow, so shall you harvest. The Christ and many like Him came and gave their lives for humanity. They were spit upon. They were fought with. They were lied about. They were persecuted. They were kicked. And some of them were killed. But did they care? No. If they were able to save only a small segment of humanity, even one soul, that trip was worthwhile. My own guru said many times, I shall ply my boat back and forth between eternity shores until every last soul has been taken to the Father. That's quite an order. Are any of us ready to do this? I am. I have nothing of my own. A few sticks of furniture, a few dishes perhaps. But I have a roof over my head, which is provided for me by one of God's blessed ones. I have food in my mouth. I have only that which you give me. I make no charge for any service to any one of you. I am at your beck and call 24 hours a day. But not yours first, but the Lord's, because it is He who dwells in your form. And for me, no service is too great or too small, if I may serve my Lord. Do you think I go without reward? I have the richest life of anybody I know, the most exciting, the most challenging, sometimes the most suffering, it is true. But what is suffering? It is that price which must be paid for purification. Who would not suffer if they were to have eternal life? What manner of man are we indeed? Are we willing to make our mark upon the world in divine love and service to God? To really make this sojourn on earth count? Or are we interested in just the little self, in fulfilling all of our petty desires? In attaining things which rust and moths eat and they disintegrate and you're constantly having to keep them up. And then finally they're gone and you have to buy new. And this is a constant struggle for that which is temporary. And we fail to reach out for that which is eternal. It takes just plain guts to stay on this path to God, to take all adversity and still keep your faith in God. But we must have more than faith. We must have works, as it said in this Bible chapter tonight. You must do more than listen. You must actually do. It requires something from the disciple, not only from the guru. The guru has already been the way, has paid the price, and has found gold at the end of the rainbow. It is the disciple that has the responsibility for doing their share if they are to get what they say they want. If they find what the guru has attractive, if they can feel that presence, that bliss, that infinite intelligence, that magnetism of God, and they want to reach out for it, they've got to do more than reach. They've got to do the works, because faith without works is nothing, absolutely nothing. And it requires infinite patience. It requires infinite strength, the strength and the power of overcoming within yourself, of being able to meet any adversity which comes into your life, rejoicing. Now, that's a tough order for some people. But when you can look back at the terrible things which you think are terrible, which have happened to you, and you can see that without that you would not have grown to be a man and a God man, then were you not blessed indeed with the experience? How can you doubt it? How can you be so blind as to turn your face away from that which will take you to the one that you say you want to realize as your very self? Everybody wants something for nothing. Reach out with your magic wand. Touch me on the shoulder. Give me everything you have, but don't ask me to pay anything. Everybody wants what God has to offer, but nobody wants to pay the price. And that price has to be paid. And it doesn't matter how much you think you have done. If it isn't enough and you haven't reached your goal, then you are a long way from accomplishing your purpose. But still, according to the law of God, you have to keep on trying. And the wonderful promise that is at the end of it is that he who endureth until the end shall have the crown of eternal life. He shall go, not be forced to go out and come back anymore, but rather at his own volition, through his own will, because of the tremendous love which is within him to raise this suffering humanity from its depths. It is rewarding. It is filling. I think of the Christ, and I see him with tears in his eyes. He gave his life, we are told, for humanity. But what did it avail him? Where is the harvest? Where are the fishers of men? And where are those men who are to be called and chosen? Are there any who truly exist? Can any of us hold our heads up and say we are truly a man of God, a woman of God? Have we given our all in order that we may get eternity? In order that we may realize that we are that all in all? I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. When that supreme experience comes to the soul who is seeking, and it may not come today, tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year, it may not come for many years, but it will come when you have made yourself ready to receive it. It's waiting for you. But you want a gift for nothing. That pearl is the pearl of great price. And that pearl is waiting for you. That love is crying out for you. It wants you so badly. That love of the Christ, which extended to every single man, woman, and child on this earth. How dare we criticize another human being, or judge them, or think that they are less than us? Are we so important? Could we move, or breathe, or think, or have our being at all? Could we enjoy life if it were not for that eternal one from whom all things come? Indeed, we could not. It is He, it is He, it is He, everywhere. And until you come to the point where you have the experience and the awareness and the realization of your oneness with Him, you have never lived. You can be from Missouri. I was from Missouri too. I remember the day that I sat in the ashram in India on a little low stool, And I said, God, I've got to know. I want to know the truth. You must show me. And he did. But that showing was not easy. I came out of it totally destroyed as a human being. Someplace in the archives of my files, I have a picture I wish I could find to show you what I looked like when I came out of that crucifixion. I looked like nothing human. You wouldn't recognize me as anyone you had ever seen, or certainly not the person that you see today. That was the price I paid. Totally. With my life. But due to God's grace, through His infinite mercy, He permitted me to come back, to live again, that I might serve Him in all of you and teach you the real truth of your being, so that you too could know that fulfillment is attainable, that you can realize your oneness with God. But until that time, you must take it on faith. You must believe. And if you accept one as your guru, and you see God in that one, then that faith must be supreme in every word of truth that comes from that one, regardless of what your own beliefs are. Every man believes something. He thinks something. But that doesn't necessarily make it so. And don't forget that the first law is that whatsoever ye have done to the least of these, ye have done unto me. And still we judge, we condemn, we desecrate this temple of the living God with our hates, with our violence, with our rejection, when we should reach out and take everyone into our arms with the love of God. When will this peace come on earth? When will man attain the wisdom and the love that is necessary to make this world what it is? It will not change, not one iota, until each one of us changes. And each individual lives in the world of his own making, of his own choosing. There is no other. Because he lives inside of this house. He dwells inside of this temple. He has jurisdiction over all of his thoughts, his words, and his actions. And in accordance with that which he builds, these thought forms, this speech form, this action form, builds this world in which he lives. So take a look at it. What good is it today in its present state? And yet there are tremendously great souls on this earth, all working together to help mankind. We've got to make a decision as to what manner of man we want to be. Do we want to be sniveling worms in the dust, always decrying our fate, never doing anything to lift ourselves up into the light of God, to feel love in our hearts and peace toward all men? Or do we really want to make the effort? Do we want to accept the challenge of going beyond everything we have ever known, of totally giving up all thought of self in order that we may become our greater selves? I can tell you firsthand that even though today I suffer tremendously, I experience such bliss as none of you even know or could dream of, and I wouldn't give up one little tiny fraction of anything that God requires of me, not one. Because always and forever, I know that I and my Father are one. I know that the Christ dwells inside me. And I know the truth of what he said when he said, "Lo, I am with you always." And he is in each and every one of you just as greatly as he is in me. But you must make the effort to realize this. You must. Do you remember the poem, If, by Rudyard Kipling? I'm sure that everybody who has ever gone to the American school has heard it. This is a challenge. If we set this prayer before us each day, that, together with another one that I would like to read to you, I'm sure that our lives would change never to be the same again. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise, if you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you have spoken twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss, if you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will which says to them, hold on, if you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. That takes some doing. How many do it or even think of it? You've got to be able to keep your cool, your calm, under any and all circumstances, to give love for hate, to give kindness for abuse. You've got to turn the other cheek 7 times 70. And when you've turned it that many times, you've lost count. So you keep turning and turning and turning. And finally you've turned it so many times that God looks down and he sees you. And he puts his hand upon you and he heals you. And he lifts you into his arms of everlasting bliss. And he makes you his forevermore. Do you think it's worth it? There are many temptations that come in this world. But the person who can stand firm, sure of himself in God, knowing that he only wants that which is good, not only for himself, that he wants not only the things of his own desires, but he wants that his neighbor shall have more than he. If you can do that, you will be so rich. St. Francis had the total key. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. This is his prayer. Let it be ours. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Man, the Son of Man within us, must die, must be crucified, in order that the Christ in each of us may be born. It would be a glorious resurrection. So ask yourself, what manner of man am I? What do I want out of life? Because whatever you put into life, that is what you will take out of it. Nothing more, nothing less. But let there be love between us and from us, one to the other. Because love is that which heals the world. And the glory of that love which comes in the form of a Christ in one is so great that it takes the whole world in its arms. and comforts it, shows it compassion, and lifts it unto itself. Now let us close our eyes and pray to Him. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting for my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet. And surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection. In every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father. May thy love shine forever. Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own. And bring them to thee.
Peace.
Bliss.